Pop Spotting 163.
Wednesday, November 16th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wild Card Wednesday, and music is once again on the menu.
That's right. Now, 3 months ago, we celebrated Jen's 29th birthday by picking five favorite songs from 1972. So as we promised at the time, we're now going back to the 70s to revisit music from the year I was born.
President Nixon resigned over Watergate. Hank Aaron became the all-time home run king. Stephen King published his first novel, Carrie. The first issue of People magazine came out, and the first UPC code was scanned in Ohio.
That's right. And in fact, it's also the year your brother was born. The year is 1974. And Jen, why don't you go first?
My number five is Show and Tell by Al Wilson. The song actually came out in 1973, but it charted at number 15. In January of 1974, Al had moderate success in the UK before charting with this song. And what I really like about this song was this is pre-disco. So you still have a little bit of the old kind of soul influences, but slightly electronic and kind of disco-like. And I think this song really combines the best of both worlds. It's, to me, the perfect drive around at dusk in a convertible with a kind of a cute guy song. I think he's a really good singer. I think he has a very good voice, and I think he really should have had a bigger career.
All right, well, let's listen.
These are the eyes that never knew how to smile till you came into my life. And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night. Girl, and here is the soul of which you've taken control. Can't you see I'm trying to show love is right?
I like that. Big, bold sounds. Of course, brass will always get me going. I don't know that song, and I agree. It should have been a bigger hit. Well, I got to start with something different, of course. That's me. I'm weird. And so my number five is actually an instrumental song. A few instrumentals made it onto the charts in 1974, but perhaps none as high as this one. It actually came out in 1973, like your song, but it peaked at number seven on the Billboard Hot 100 in May of 1974. And it is the theme song from The Exorcist. Yes, it's got a sound that I think everybody knows. It was by Mike Oldfield. It was an album that explored a lot of different styles, and there was actually only two tracks on it, each over 20 minutes long. But this little bit of segment, this little bit of melody became world famous. In fact, this album by Mike Oldfield was the first one to come out ever on Virgin Records. And so in a way, this song was really what gave Richard Branson his start to start an airline, to take people into space. So yeah, I like this song, and it's a song that I taught myself to play on the piano. I thought I was so cool when I sat down to play it for you, and then you just ran out of the room. So obviously this song has a very emotional effect on some folks, but I love it. It's Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield.
Thank you.
yeah, emotional reaction for sure. I was raised Catholic, so even the mere mention of that movie really freaks me out, and so does that song.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's hard to find too. In fact, there's a special album with various versions of it, but you know, back I remember recording it on cassette tape, and that's how I kind of taught myself it. And now it seems like there's this debate as to where the original version is or what really counts as that song, but I loved it. What's your number four?
My number four is a song called Return of the Grievous Angel by Gram Parsons. Gram Parsons is such a tragic and interesting figure. He had a really bad family and a really rough childhood. His stepfather was an alcoholic. He turned to drugs and alcohol to kind of relieve his emotional turmoil. He died at 26, and there's this whole crazy story of how his friends stole his body and buried in Joshua Tree because his family wanted to bury him in Florida, where he was from. He's mostly well known for his partnership with Emmylou Harris, but he was also a member of the Byrds and the Flying Burrito Brothers. And I think he's really the forerunner of the country pop movement. I think in the 70s, when country became really big and everybody was opening up honky-tonks in all the major cities, I think Gram Parsons was really kind of responsible for that. This song was from a posthumous release, and it was the title track from the album Grievous Angel. It's also the name of the tribute album dedicated to him that came out in 1999.
Yeah, which is interesting. I wasn't familiar with the song, but I was familiar with Grievous Angel, that tribute album. It had Emmylou Harris on it, obviously, Beck, Wilco, The Pretenders, Elvis Costello, and Sheryl Crow. And I think it was her track that got me to check out the album. That's a great pick. My number four is a Roberta Flack song, and it's Feel Like Making Love. And yes, this was one of her biggest hits. It was her third number one single, and this one earned her 3 Grammy nominations that year. It's the title track of an album that hit number one on several charts and, of course, has since been covered by many people, including, I would say, unsuccessfully by D'Angelo in the year 2000. And so I really like this song. It's a very sweetly sexy song. It's very simple. It's great. I mean, when you talk about songs about this level of romance and affection and sensuality, you've got Al Green, and later on you got Barry White. But I think Roberta Flack got the message, got the way to convey these feelings, but with a great deal of class.
I agree. It is classy and it is beautiful. But when I heard you say the name of the song, I really thought you meant the Bad Company version. But that's actually from 1975. But I really like the Bad Company version. And I like this one because it's the same title, but 2 very different songs.
I'd say they're very different songs. I think they're both sexy in different ways. I can see why you might like that version better, but let's go quickly to number 3 on your list.
My number 3 is Rock Your Baby by George McRae. It hit number 38. It's early disco, kind of like Show and Tell, but even more breezy and sexy. It was written by Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band, and this really was one of the biggest international disco hits. It's kind of on every disco compilation that's out there. It was a big hit in the US, both on the pop and R&B charts, and also in the UK. And oddly enough, this was the inspiration for ABBA's Dancing Queen.
I like that pick. I like that sound, but I won't say too much because I think it might come up again later in this countdown. I will go to my number 3. It is Ricky, Don't Lose That Number by Steely Dan. And, you know, who doesn't know this song? I think it's probably the most familiar song on my list. And it was the opening track of their 3rd album, Pretzel Logic, and it got up to number 4 on Billboard in the summer of 1974. Certainly their most popular song, period. I like it. It has a very basic bass line. It's got the piano piano, kind of a jazz dance rhythm. And I was just researching this song, and I enjoyed even the story behind it. There's a lot of great sort of urban legends about Ricky and what's the song actually about. People think that the number is actually a code word for a marijuana joint, but it turns out that it was, well, no one's really confirmed it. You know, it was written by songwriter Donald Fagen. He doesn't like to talk about what his songs are about, but somebody named Ricky DeCornay, she was a professor's wife at Bard College in New York way back when, and she tells the story of meeting Fagen and him approaching her and kind of giving, you know, getting her number, except, of course, she was married to professor at the time and possibly pregnant. Still, I think it's a great song, a great band. I think it was deservedly popular, and I liked it even more after I heard the story behind it.
And it's featured in Say Anything.
That's right, sung by the dad in the car.
Jim Court.
Not so well.
Not very right. Well.
Well, what's your number two?
My number two is Killer Queen by Queen. And this song is just the perfect example of why I love Queen. There's an old-fashioned feel to it. It's very strange instruments, jaunty piano, yet it is very guitar-driven, and you have Freddie's voice, and it's just a mixture of all these really kind of crazy elements that come into one beautiful thing. It's from the album Sheer Heart Attack, and Freddie is really one of my top five favorite male singers ever. And the funny thing is I didn't know anything about Queen until after he died. I happened to catch, I think it was Bohemian Rhapsody on MTV or something, right. And I got really curious about them. And I found out that they were really theatrical, and they really use that theatricality in their stage shows.
Right.
And Brian May, the guitarist, is like a math genius, and just they had so much personality. And the song was written by Freddie, and he really had the lyrics before he had the music.
I like this song. It is classic Queen. I like the harmonies, the really rich and layered production, the way that the music, the melody just sort of does those slides between chords and between sounds. Yeah, classic Queen, great pick. And I think we're going to have to get out of you those top five male singers sometime in the future. In any case, let's move on to my number two. It's another very familiar song, I would imagine, but it is Rock the Boat by Hughes Corporation. Now, historically, this is described as one of the first disco songs and albums to hit number one on the charts. Of course, there's a great deal of debate as to whether it was this or any other tune, but it's definitely a song that gets stuck in my head every time I hear it, so I had to pick it. I mean, the drums and the rhythm, it's very cheery. It's got the brass, and like I said, I'm a sucker for brass. A very fun song, but a romantic song still. It's irresistible as far as I'm concerned, and it is with this song that we have the connection to your list, because Rock the Boat is cited as one of the influences for Casey's Rock Your Baby, which was the song on your list, which then, as you mentioned, was an influence for ABBA's Dancing Queen. So there's a nice chain going on. But let's listen. Let's see if we can get this stuck in your head, too. So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Storm. And I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through. Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
I think one of my very first memories was dancing around to this song in the back of my parents' car when I was 3 or 4.
Holy cow, you can remember that far back?
I think so.
Where were you at the time?
Massachusetts.
That's impressive. I don't remember anything before 10 or 11. I must have been bonked on the head a few too many times. Well, let's move now to our number one picks for 1974. What's at the tops of yours?
This is not only the top of this particular list for me, it's also my favorite song probably ever.
Whoa.
It's Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight and the Pips. It did come out in 1973, like several of our picks, but it won the Grammy for Best Song in 1974.
Yeah,
and there are so many things about this song that I love, just the way that Gladys's vocal delivery and the harmonies really make me feel lonely. They really bring out this kind of feeling of desperation and loneliness. And there's a lyric, I'd rather live in his world than be without him in mine. That might be my favorite lyric of all time. And oddly enough, this song was written, it was originally called Midnight Plane to Houston, and it was written by a guy named Jim Weatherly after he had a phone conversation with Farrah Fawcett about her boyfriend at the time, Lee Majors.
It's a great song, but wow, high praise. Favorite song ever? Favorite line in a song ever? I gotta hear it. Here's Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight and the Pimps.
The world he left behind, not so long ago. He's leaving,
leaving
on that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time.
I love this pick. I love that song. I love her voice. Just so powerful and amazing. Great pick for your number one. My number one, I gotta say, has a very different sound. Doesn't even seem like it's from the same era as Gladys Knight's. And it is the song The Air That I Breathe by The Hollies. Mm-hmm. Now, I love this song on many levels. It does reach me. It does touch me emotionally. It evokes thoughts and feelings like good music should. But as a geek, I really like this in a technical way, in a musical way, and how it was composed and put together. Just the sound really gets my brain cells sparking. There are these really distinct changes in chord from major to minor. The melody is haunting. You know, phrases shift or bleed over from one measure into the next. And yes, I do love the sound overall. The guitars, the strings, and of course the vocals. It's a somewhat eerie song, and that's a big part of why I like it as well. It was originally by Al Hammond and Mike Hazelwood, but it's been covered by just about everybody, including K.D. Lang, the Everly Brothers, Olivia Newton-John, Hank Williams. We found a cover on Coverville. They did a version that Semisonic did.
Which I really like.
It's a really good cover, but this version by The Hollies is the one that I love the most.
Nothing to eat.
This song really strikes a chord with me also. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's kind of sad and kind of sweet at the same time.
I love it. And in fact, did you know that the song Creep by Radiohead uses the same chord progressions in it? It is so similar that in fact, Creep apparently had to give Al Hammond and Mike Hazelwood a co-writing credit on the song
after they published it.
So the next time you hear Creep by Radiohead, which I do love, I think it'll be hard for you not to hear The Air That I Breathe. Well, those were our top five picks each for the best songs of 1974, a great year for music, even though, I mean, despite the fact that I also appeared on the scene. It's interesting, a lot of big songs came out that year. Jungle Boogie by Kool & the Gang, Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive, Waterloo by ABBA, a lot of really obvious choices. Were there any runners-up or honorable mentions that you wanted to mention?
Maybe Benny and the Jets by Elton John.
Yeah, that's a good one. Joni Mitchell's Help Me was on my list. And I mentioned instrumentals and how I kind of like it when that happens. You know, Radio Free Hawaii was one of the only radio stations where you'd get maybe classical and instrumental pieces in mm-hmm. the countdown next to pop music. So you also had Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra with Love's Theme that year, as well as The Entertainer, that melody from the 1900s, the early 1900s, right. because of the movie The Sting. Well, we hope that we've been able to infect you with a few earworms today.
And we'd like to hear about your top five.
Absolutely. Certainly write those in. We also do want to take some time out this podcast to send a shout out, though, to those of you who've taken the time to review our podcast in iTunes. So a big thank you to Daniel Barkowitz, Weddle C, I think that's Chris Weddle, Mitch Grisham, Yoda 808, that's our friend right here in Honolulu, Matt, he's with the Red Band Project. We've got Harskat, who I believe is Dan, who works with Wayne Henderson with the podcasting empire over there. We've got Dodgy, we've got Seraph Shell, that's Michelle from Illinois. We've got Lil Chaos, who just was working on planning his Hawaii honeymoon, and so really appreciate our Hawaii shows. Night Glider 1, that's a longtime friend. Pete, thanks for reviewing us. Delia V, that's Delia in Philadelphia. And finally, our old friend, Mike in Virginia. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. You know, Pop Spotting would not exist without you, and that's especially true for Wild Card Wednesdays. It's sometimes the toughest part of putting this show together is picking those topics.
We've gotten a few great suggestions that we're going to start working on, but we are always on the hunt for more. You keep us going, so please keep any kind of feedback coming, show suggestions, things that you would like to see, anything.
Absolutely. You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, and you can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
If you're having trouble keeping up with our show, don't worry, you're not alone. In fact, we have trouble sometimes. If it'll help, you can get an email every time we post a new episode. You can just subscribe to our notification list at popspotting.net/subscribe.
We want to say thank you to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and we want to say thanks to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Arrivederci.
Ciao.